food and nutrition experts getting together to help you raise a healthy family. It's time for Family Food Kitchen on Radio MD. Here's your hosts, Ellen Briggs and Carolina Jantak.
There's such a blurred line between nutritional value of synthetic or natural vitamins. I don't know how to tell the difference, and I really want to know if it matters. So we're going to find out from our guest today, Catherine Price. She's author of Vitamania. And by the way, she's an award-winning journalist. Catherine, thanks for being in our Family Food Kitchen today. We need you. What is the difference between a natural and a synthetic vitamin?
Well, it's one of the many questions about vitamins that seems like it should be really easy to answer, but isn't. Synthetic just means man-made. So synthetic vitamins are vitamins that are made by man, either from producing them chemically, you know, using some form of chemical reaction to produce them, or treating some other substance in order to make the vitamins, or getting a bacteria that actually can produce vitamins for you and breeding that bacteria. Natural is a much more controversial term. Like, the government actually can't decide on a definition for natural for food labels, but in general, when people say that, they mean vitamins that occur in foods naturally, like the vitamin C in oranges. So in terms of whether it really matters, I don't think it's a question to get too wrapped up in, because I think in general Americans, our diets are have enough issues that we shouldn't get too worried about where the vitamins are coming from in terms of that question. But if you do want to think about it, there are certain vitamins that are easier to absorb in synthetic form, including vitamin B12 and folic acid, and then there are other ones that are easier to absorb in food. The other thing I would point out, though, in terms of the synthetic-natural divide, is that when you eat a vitamin that is in an orange, for example, there's lots of other substances in the orange in addition to that vitamin, and those substances may be working with the vitamin C in ways that we don't really understand. So if you eat it in an orange, it may work a bit differently than it does if you eat it as an isolated substance in a tablet. I don't think that you need to get too wrapped up in that, but it is something to keep in mind when you're trying to decide whether to change your diet to eat more naturally vitamin-rich foods or just take a pill. And I'd recommend doing the former.
You know, I'm so glad you brought that up, because people tend to think our bodies and what we eat, the things we work in isolation, and that nothing could be farther from the truth. Everything works in, it's like it's orchestra of events that are going on. There's an action. For every action, there's a reaction, and there are multiple reactions. So when you're taking a vitamin C without any fiber or any of the nutrients in that orange, you're not going to get the same results as if you eat that orange. That's just what you were explaining. It is, maybe you could just speak to that a little bit more, because I really want to emphasize that nothing works in isolation. Do you agree?
I mean, I do, yeah, especially when we talk about food. You can use an analogy of people, actually, though, if you think about how you act when you're alone in your house versus how you act if you're in a crowd or at a party. It's very different. And sometimes unpredictable. And so I think, you know, I think if you're taking a vitamin to correct a nutritional deficiency, say you have scurvy, which is the vitamin C deficiency disease, then you could either eat an orange or you could take a vitamin C tablet, because really what you're after is the vitamin C. But if you're talking about the overall health benefits of these vitamins, which are not entirely understood, then I think it's important to try to get them in the natural context that they occur. And also not to try, I think we have a tendency to think that, okay, well, if a little bit of vitamin C is essential for keeping us healthy, then a whole lot of vitamin C or any other vitamin must be much better for us. And I don't think that's a wise attitude to have about anything, basically. I mean, even if you think about water, if you were to drink too much water in a day, you actually could kill yourself. So I think we should have a bit of caution about overdoing it with pills and focus instead on trying to get a wide variety of foods that naturally contain vitamins.
That's such a good point, Catherine. I remember going through my nutrition training and learning about upper limit on some of these vitamins and minerals. A lot of the water-soluble ones, you know, you can have a lot of them. But then, especially if you're buying, you're having very expensive urine because most of it is coming right out if you're taking more than you need. But you brought up a point that I think is very interesting, and it's a question I have, and maybe many other people have. Maybe you can give us insight into it, which is, nowadays we have this movement into eating more foods, getting more of your nutrients from foods. So using wholesome ingredients and wholesome food. Now I'll take flour, for example. We're telling people to cook with whole wheat flour or to use sprouted grain flour, for example, as opposed to that white flour. The question I have here is, white flour has for years been enriched with synthetic vitamins, including folic acid. So is there a danger here that going in this direction will actually make us miss some of the nutrients that for years the food industry has been adding synthetically to some of the ingredients we use in our baking?
Yeah, I guess that's a good question, because it's true that for a long time, actually since World War II, all enriched flour in the United States tends to have synthetic vitamins added to it. It's actually not mandatory, but pretty much all millers or flour makers do that. If you're eating like whole wheat flour that's actually made from the entire grain of the wheat, then you're getting the benefit of all of the nutrients that were contained in the shell of the wheat kernel, and that includes a lot of vitamins. So you're gaining some stuff that was taken out in the refined flour process. But I think you're right that you actually could be getting less than you would be if you ate the white enriched flour, because there's a lot of vitamins added to that. With that said, I don't think that that should be a reason to try to eat more processed and refined foods just to, you know, up your vitamin intake. I think the danger is if you eat a too monotonous of a diet of really highly processed foods that actually are so nutritionally poor they don't even have vitamins added to them. I actually recently heard of some cases of scurvy, again, the vitamin C deficiency disease that we normally think about in terms of sailors in like the 1600s, occurring in Massachusetts in a population of people who had mental issues. And for example, there was one guy who had eaten nothing but white bread and American cheese for 6 months. Oh, sorry, but no, I don't know how long that guy was. And another guy had eaten only ice cream for 6 months. And they showed up.
I think there's a lot of toddlers out there on those diets, so moms are freaking out right now.
Right, really? No, hopefully they're eating something else besides that. But anyway, they showed up, you know, with like easy bruising and bleeding gums, and the doctors were looking for some kind of bacterial explanation, some infectious disease, and finally thought, oh my goodness, could this possibly be this nutritional deficiency disease that was, you know, an issue in the age of exploration? And indeed, it was.
Wow. Wow. Well, I want to ask you about synthetic. Let's talk about vitamin D. When you buy a synthetic vitamin D, what is it? What is it made of?
Well, this is just a fun fact that I uncovered in my research, which is that vitamin D, which is a fat-soluble vitamin, it's created by getting lanolin, which is the grease that occurs on sheep wool, and irradiating it with ultraviolet radiation. And that process, it's the same thing that happens in our skin. So it sounds really weird, but it's actually not as weird as it sounds. It's the same process that happens in our skin where it the radiation converts the part of the oil into vitamin D. And that is the same form that's created by our own bodies, and that is what is found in most vitamin D capsules. That's a D3. So, yeah, it sounds very strange, and I just kind of love the fact that it comes from, like, New Zealand sheep, but I wouldn't be too worried about it.
Yeah, so even though it sounds scary, it also sounds like it's kind of a great discovery, because if we all do need extra vitamin D, we need to get it from somewhere. So thankfully they figured out a way to make it for us, even though it is synthetic, so that we can still have it with our calcium and have better absorption, right? So we shouldn't be scared of it. We should still take it.
Exactly. But my question was, if the sheep have all this wool covering their skin, then how do they get the vitamin D, right? Because they're essentially wearing
wool. Oh, very good point.
I didn't get a good answer to that.
Wow.
We'll have to research that.
Some of the mysteries, huh? It sounds like maybe Vitamania number 2 will be unveiling the mysteries that you found in number 1. Catherine, thank you so much for being with us. This was so interesting. I want to tell everybody your website, which is www.catherinewithac-price.com. So that's catherine-price.com. And then you can look for her book, Vitamania, so you can learn everything we talked about it today and then so much more. Remember, you can always find healthy solutions to feeding your family on our website, and that's kidcritics.org. Spelled with 2 K's. You can listen to all our past podcasts on RadioMD.com. And in the meantime, make sure you eat well and stay well.